In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. If you've seen the HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, in the first episode, we got an insight into the training that was being conducted to prepare men to go into World War II, and particularly the invasion of Europe. And there was a particular scene where they were training on hand-to-hand combat. They were training on map reading and knowing their sand tables, and they were also training on the difference between, or the what the best fighting position would be. And we heard in the movie, in the show, as they were explaining that the first fighting position was a prepared position. And as they were talking about this prepared position, the soldiers were digging a trench, digging a foxhole to hide in, so that they would have some cover from enemy fire. They never said what the second position was, but we can assume that it was a non-prepared position, or what's also sometimes called a hasty position. You just have to improvise, because there's no time. You just have to make a decision and go with something. And each of us has probably experienced this in our life, regardless of where you've grown up. Maybe if you were from up north, it was a snowball fight that you were engaged in. If you were down in the south, it could have been a water balloon fight or something like that, where people will often lay out their own little battlefield in their mind to ambush you as maybe you're coming home from school or something. Or if it is a friend of yours, they'll actually play it kind of fair and maybe lay out a little field to play in, and you'll have your water balloons on each side or whatever, and you kind of know what the line in the middle is, kind of like dodgeball, right? And we go for, you know, attacking each other, throwing it at each other, hitting each other with it, and you try to get that enemy, you try to beat them, but you have your little prepared positions. You have where you're going to fight from. But then sometimes you just get caught out in the middle of the field and they're lobbing something at you, and you just simply have to respond with what you've got and where you're at. You're just out in the middle of nowhere. And we kind of see this morning in our gospel reading with the publican and the Pharisee. If we look at that gospel reading, we see that the Pharisee was prepared. He had fasted. He had tithed. He had examined his life and knew what he had done, what his neighbor had done. And so he, in a way, would have been coming from a prepared position. The publican, on the other hand, is simply begging for mercy. He's standing at the back. He's looking down. He simply realizes where he is in life. We don't know how much preparation went into that. But he sees where he's at. He recognizes it, acknowledges it, and asks for the mercy of God. Now, sometimes people read this gospel reading and they'll say things like, see, it doesn't matter what you do, it only matters what's in your heart. Look at the Pharisee. He did all these wonderful things, and yet his heart wasn't right. So in some ways, why would you bother to practice something? It didn't do him any good. Others might look at that and they might say, the law doesn't matter. He had this whole law written out. He had this whole thing that he was theoretically following. And so that's why we just throw the law away, and it doesn't matter, and it doesn't do us any good. So just pray and everything's nice and good and dandy. But this isn't the case. And we see this not only in our scripture readings today, but also what we saw in last week with Zacchaeus. You see, the law wasn't the problem. It actually had kind of started to work for Zacchaeus. When he repented, you remember he gave back four times what he had stole from somebody else. And if you read the law, that's exactly what you had to do to make restitution if you had robbed your neighbor. It's exactly what it says in the Old Testament. Now, the giving half to the poor, that's going above and beyond. But he made that fourfold restoration, which is how people knew to take his apology seriously. It's how they knew he was actually repenting, because he did what the scripture had commanded. And speaking of the scripture and what it commands, in the epistle to Timothy today, Paul commends Timothy to hold on to what he had been taught from his youth and to the scriptures that he had read from his youth, because they point to Christ. There was no New Testament when Paul wrote that to Timothy. That was the beginning of the New Testament. So the scripture that Paul is talking about is all the Old Testament, that in that we can see Christ. And we know this, of course, because Christ tells us what the greatest commandments are in the Old Testament, and he's not making it up. He's not synthesizing something. He is directly quoting Scripture when he says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, sometimes translated as strength. He is quoting directly from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. When he says to love your neighbor as yourself, he is quoting from Leviticus 19:18. So the problem isn't the law. The problem is that for this particular individual, for this particular Pharisee, following the law, following the practices, he had not remained humble. But he had become prideful, and this was his downfall. And the same is true if you're in combat. The same is true if you're in a snowball fight or a water balloon fight. You get a little cocky, you get a little prideful, you think you know everything, you think you've got everything down, and boom, that balloon comes up from the side and smacks you right in the side of the face. And if it's 100 degrees out, it might feel a little good, but it still means you're losing that battle. And so it's important for us to never assume that we're going to win the battle. It's important for us to remain humble and to move forward with faith in Christ. You know, I say never assume we're going to win the battle. We know Christ has won, and though he is on our side, we still have the challenge of our own obedience to his will, and that can be a problem for us. We might not see what's actually going on. We might not take the proper action that we're supposed to if our will isn't aligned to that of our Lord's, and so we have to be careful and humble when we engage. We should never assume that we don't need any practice in anything in our life. There are certain skills that are critical regardless of the type of battle you're in, whether it's prepared or an unprepared. So, for example, weapons practice. It's always good to know how to use your weapon. It is always good to be proficient. It is good to know how to assemble, disassemble, clean it, take care of it. All of those things are critical, whether you're in a fortified position or whether you're caught off guard. To be able to respond quickly, you have to know how to use that weapon. And so we might say it would be good for us to always be reading the Scriptures, to be regularly reading the writings of the fathers. Those things are good for us, again, whether we know that we're going to be going to a difficult situation or one comes out of the blue. Knowing how to use your communication equipment. You always have to communicate. There's no way to win against the enemy if you're out there by yourself. That's why they got rid of the whole Army One thing that was going on for a while, because it doesn't take just one person, it takes an entire team, which is why we're here together. That's why we're getting ready for Great Lent as a team, because by ourselves, it's a lot harder to struggle. But if we're doing it together, we encourage each other on that journey. And so using that communication equipment, that prayer, sometimes we're using the nice prayer books that we have. We're in our prayer corner with the icons. It's a wonderful thing. And sometimes we're just crying out the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me because of what just happened in our life that particular day. So that's an important thing. It's also critical to have physical endurance for the battle. You'll see if you're ever on a military installation, a lot of rucking sometimes, especially on the Army side, carrying all that gear, the battle rattle with you. But you always see people exercising. You see not being able to respond, not being able to do something physically impacts us mentally and spiritually as well. And so that's why we're also not going to let hunger rule the day. We're going to practice overcoming that hunger with fasting in the next few weeks. And again, we should never assume that we're going to know all the ways the enemy is going to attack us. It's good to have some intel. It's good to have some ideas. There's things that we know are likely to come up, but we don't know everything that's going to come at us. And so we have to engage in a general state of preparedness and kind of be ready for anything that can happen to us. And so it's critical for us as we talk about these fights, as we talk about preparing and not preparing, as families, as persons, to begin to prepare. What am I going to read? What am I going to orient in my life differently? Am I going to turn off that TV for how many days? Am I going to attend these services? What am I going to do? How am I going to engage the fast? And of course, to do that in consultation with our spiritual father. It takes humility in order to properly train and to engage, because we have to acknowledge that we might have some shortcomings in our life. We might have some shortfalls, some things we need to work on. And this, again, is where the Pharisee lacked. And this is the discipline that we seek to develop as we move into Great Lent here in just a couple of weeks. This is our fast-free week. Coming up this week. This is it. And then we're moving in. We heard the choir sing from the Triodion this morning. And so we've kind of had that shot across the bow, if you will, to let us warn us that Lent is on its way. And so as we prepare for that, let us keep the words of St. Ignatius Brancheninov in our mind. Whatever you do, on no account condemn anyone. Do not even try to judge whether a person is good or bad, but keep your eyes on that one person for whom you must give an account before God, yourself. And so as we see the publican, as we see the Pharisee, let us start to take account of ourselves and where we're at so that we can honestly engage and prepare for the spiritual battle ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.